Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I've been spending a little bit of time in Ecclesiastes lately in my own personal reading and devotions, and I'm convinced that we need to visit this book a little more often. The book of Ecclesiastes shows us the ruin and futility of life under the sun. It shows us how this world has become corrupted and how even at this present time, our best efforts often fail. And it's good for us to be reminded of that, because sometimes we have a tendency to think that if I do all of my planning correctly, then everything's going to line up for me, everything's going to be perfect for me, and awesome, and away we go. But that is just not life, is it? Life is a whole lot more messy than that under the sun. Life in this fallen world is not picture perfect. There's a day coming when God's going to make everything right, but right now, we're not really in that world yet. I want to consider this evening verses 5 and 6. There's really a lot that we could, dwell on in this chapter. But I want us to look at verses 5 and 6. And here is what the scripture says in these verses. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the laughter of a fool, or fool's laughter. We come to this passage. Solomon, the preacher, sets it up this way. He said, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. So let me set the stage this way. It's better to have someone who loves the Lord and loves you. It's better to hear them rebuke you than to listen to Taylor Swift. Okay, we'll just set the parameters that way. Okay, it's better to hear that rebuke than to hear the song of fools. Now, it's not wrong for fools to sing. In fact, fools, when they sing, may sing the same songs that we sing. They may, for example, stand with us at a Remembrance Day service, like many of us attended on Friday, and sing together, O Canada. That song coming from the lips of fools is not necessarily wrong. They may stand together with us and sing songs like Happy Birthday. That's not wrong. When Solomon here speaks of the song of fools, he's speaking of a certain kind of song, a song that is characterized by the thinking and lifestyle of the fool. In other words, the song of the fool is a song that expresses who the fool is. The song expresses their worldview. It expresses their passions. It expresses their innermost desires, or not so much innermost. That things are wide open. That's the kind of song that he is talking about here. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. I spent some time meditating on this a couple weeks ago. We hear the songs of fools all around us. We hear songs that express a worldview that is contrary to God's will, contrary to God's way. We hear it all the time. Maybe not all the time, but we hear it continually, often. I was thinking about this the other day when I was at the gym. And just the foolishness that spews forth over the speakers at the gym while I'm exercising. There's a reason why I just sometimes bring my own MP3 player and I plug in and just tune all that stuff out. Because the foolishness, the worldview that is so contrary to God, This worldview, in many of the songs, it's about, you know, hook up, shack up, break up. You know, that seems to be there's the contour. There's your songs today. This is what the worldview is expressing. We hear the song of fools all around us. And Solomon then goes on to expand on this and say, for like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. The laughter of a fool. Just as we hear the song of fools all around us, we hear the laughter of fools all around us. And just as every song that a fool sings is not necessarily the problem, because the fool may sing songs that are not wrong, that are in keeping with a good worldview, or innocent of any transgression, so it is that the laughter of fools is not necessarily wrong just because a fool laughs. I might sit down beside a fool and hear a funny story that is not evil, not wicked, and we both can laugh about that story. It's not really an issue. Again, when Solomon speaks of the laughter of fools, he's talking about a certain kind of laughter. You read through the book of Proverbs, and Solomon actually has a lot to say about laughter and fools. One of the key things that he says about laughter and fools is that fools make a mock of sin, or make a mock at sin. In other words, rather than mourning for sin, rather than seeing its foolishness and the fact that engaging in it is worthy of punishment from God, it becomes something that's hilarious to them. And again, we're not talking about the kind of folly where God basically calls our bluff. There is a kind of folly like that, where God shows the foolishness of sin by allowing us to face the consequences of that sin. That's why, for example, a person that gives themselves over to drunkenness, I think God makes a spectacle of them as they make a spectacle of themselves to show, look at how foolish this is. This is just goofy. You know, the drunk can't think, he can't reason, but he thinks he's the most reasonable guy there. And I have a lot more experience than drunks than I would like to have had in my lifetime. I worked at Taco Bell, I've told you this before, and one summer that I worked at Taco Bell, we were the only restaurant that was open 24 hours. And so all the bars closed at 2 o'clock. And these people recently escaped from the bar would then come through Taco Bell. And I've told you before that immediately across the street from the Taco Bell was a country western bar that I now have come to call the Beer and Brawl, because that seemed to be the way that they conducted themselves. And they'd come reeling across the street and walk through the drive-thru, because of course they couldn't drive, and order ridiculous amounts of food. You know, they stand there, hardly able to stand up, having to hold on to the drive-thru sign and say, I'll have 10 tacos and 15 nachos, and they just keep going and going and going, and it was so foolish. Like, can you not see what your drunkenness has done to you? You're making a spectacle of yourself. The laughter of fools is not just about, ha ha ha, they got so drunk that they passed out. The laughter of fools is a laughter that embraces that folly. It's a laughter that endorses it. It's a laughter that delights in the folly of sin. And so, Solomon, the preacher, speaks here of the laughter of a fool. We think about the laughter of fools today, and those of us who desire to do what's right have experienced the laughter of fools. We hear the laughter of fools in some particular ways. For example, those of us who seek to live and do what's right, we hear the laughter of fools summoning us. Look at how fun this is. Look at how enjoyable this is. Come party with us. Come take these drugs. Come sign up for this website where you can have a discreet affair. Come follow us in this folly. Come follow us in that folly. And we who seek to live right hear the laughter of fools in a summoning sense. It's so fun. Join us. I think that perhaps is even the thought that's in Solomon's mind from verse 5. We hear the song of fools, the laughter of fools. It's so fun. Join with us. Of course, that summoning laughter of fools doesn't tell the whole story. That laughter of fools that says, hey, it's so enjoyable for you to come be a part of this, that doesn't tell the whole story. Imagine, for example, if whenever you have these multi-million dollar advertisements that are played at Super Bowl time, imagine if those advertisements for alcoholic beverages showed where the abuse of these things led. Imagine if they showed the person just out of his mind, drunk, brawling with people, or abusive toward his children, or the wrecked marriage, or the guy hung over the toilet bowl, just retching. That's not the sort of appeal, right? The appeal is, come, drink this beverage, and all the most beautiful people in the world will gather around you. The best looking people will gather around you. It will be fun. It will be enjoyable. Come enjoy this to its fullest. The laughter of fools is heard by those of us who seek to live righteously. And the laughter of fools seeks to summon us. It says, come, come. In fact, you read through the book of Proverbs and you see that there's this constant summoning to wrong and then wisdom's calling. And you can't pursue both. You can't headlong run after what the fools are promoting by their laughter, summoning you to do with their laughter, and follow after wisdom. You cannot do both. And so the laughter of fools summons us. But when the laughter of fools summons us and is unsuccessful in summoning us, we hear the laughter of fools and it takes on a different edge, doesn't it? The laughter of fools then scorns us. Look at that person. He won't follow after us. Look at that person. How much fun we're having. Look at that poor, deluded individual over there. Look at that person that is so backward and so straight-laced that they can't even enjoy fun. That's the way that the laughter then comes to us. A scorning laughter. Brothers and sisters, the longer that we live in this age, in this world that is increasingly unloosed from its Christian worldviews, where there was, at least in our society at one point, basic biblical knowledge, respect for the Word of God, that is very quickly passing away, is it not? And we find in this society, if you would seek to live right, hold fast to God's standards, believe what God has to say, you would feel the scorn of the laughter of fools. But Solomon tells us something very important about the laughter of fools. That laughter that summons us and that laughter that scorns us. He says this, "For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool." Here's the picture. You have a cooking pot set up. And of course, in those days, you didn't just, you know, put that pot on the stove. You had to warm that pot up by means of fire. And you would put under that pot kindling, but you wanted more than kindling. So there might be some dried out thorns that you put under there. Those things would blaze up very quickly and make all kinds of popping, cracking sounds as they burn, but they would be very quickly burned out. And this is the point that Solomon is making. The laughter of fools is very loud, but it's also very temporary. The laughter of fools is loud, but temporary. I want us to remember that. Because we do live in this world under the sun. We do live in this fallen world. And fools will summon us with their laughter and scorn us with their laughter. And our temptation is to give in or to despair. Give in to the summoning laughter of fools or to despair when we feel the scorn of the fool laughing at us. And Solomon, through this passage, reminds us, don't do either one. Their laughter may be loud, but it's soon over. Even if a fool were to laugh his entire life. Even if a fool were to actually experience what Asaph talked about in Psalm 73, they don't have any problems in their life, they go all the way to death, they're not even sick until the time they die, everything's easy for them. Even if that were the reality of the fool, this life is so small in light of eternity. The fool may laugh and laugh and laugh, summoning you to follow its folly. Or the fool may scorn you with his laughter, but that laughter, though it's loud, is soon cut off. Don't be fooled and don't despair about the laughter of the fool. I had a brief devotional that I gave on this thought the other day to the kids at school. Because I know that they experience the lure of the fool's laughter. And I know that even within a Christian school, there are those who look outside the walls of the school and look outside the context of the Christian worldview, and they would say, that looks so fun. But it's not just teens that are fooled by the laughter of fools. It's not just teens that are lured by that. We all may be tempted in that way. Brothers and sisters, don't fall for the laughter of fools. Those laughing tongues will soon be silenced. They soon will laugh no more. And don't despair when you feel the scorn. And you will. Stand on what God says about sexual morality, and you will be seen as some kind of weirdo today. Which is, of course, a complete reversal of what things really are. God has established his law. God has established right and wrong. God has established the context for sexuality. And deviance from that is what is wrong and weird. And just messed up. But in our world today, it's seen the other way around, isn't it? And so when we say, listen, this is what God says, you are going to be scorned. Don't despair. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, well, I tried to follow the Lord and it just didn't work out. That may be it's working out. If there's anything that Ecclesiastes teaches us, it's that even in seeking to follow God, there will be tough times. There will be struggle. Don't fall into this sort of prosperity light gospel. This idea that, hey, if you follow the Lord, everything will go well, or even most things will go well. It may not happen that way. Following Jesus can end very badly. There are such things as martyrs. End very badly in this life. But this life is not all there is to it. Look with me at the end of verse 6, because this really summarizes it. This also is vanity. What's vanity? The song and laughter of fools is vanity. You come across this word vanity in its various forms often in the book of Ecclesiastes. And sometimes that word vanity is used as almost like a literal word picture. Grasping for the wind. How many of you can walk outside and just gather up the wind as it comes towards you and just walk off with a bucket of it? We can't. We can't do that. Anyone who would try to do that is a fool. And Solomon says that the laughter of fools, the song of fools, is like grasping for the wind. Another way we could say this is that it's like soap bubbles. You know, soap bubbles. My kids like to play with these bubble wands in the backyard. They blow this soap liquid and all these bubbles go flying out and they're bright and shiny. But you reach out to grab them and they pop. That's another picture of vanity. I have a friend who is Portuguese and he said that in his Portuguese translation of the Bible, the word that's translated for vanity, or the word that they use for vanity, is, he said, it's like if you're looking at a building and there's a brick missing. That missing spot is vanity, emptiness. And that's ultimately what vanity is, it's emptiness. The fool's song, the fool's laughter may seem so full, but it's empty. It's empty of true meaning. It's empty of true value. And it's empty of any lasting significance. Don't fall for the laughter of fools. But even as I come to a conclusion here, I think it's important that we recognize that we are not the first who have sought to be faithful, who have experienced the laughter of fools. Our Lord and Savior was mocked and scourged. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Jesus, the Son of God, the spotless Lamb, was scorned by fools. And how grateful we can be tonight that he did not hear the scorning laughter of fools and give up. How grateful we can be that he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself and went to that cross for us. See, if we're honest, there have been times when we have not responded to the laughter of fools the way that we ought to have. There have been times when we heard the laughter of fools and felt the summons toward, and we have longed for it and lusted after it, even after what they're laughing about, even if we did not actually do the action. And there may have even been times where we heard the laughter of fools and we pursued what they were doing. And there have been other times when we have heard the laughter of fools against us and we have become wearied and we have closed down and we have just stopped. Jesus went to the cross and paid enduring the shame, enduring it, and paid the penalty for all of us. For all of our sins, including those sins that we have committed when we have felt the call of the laughter of fools. Including the times that we have sinned in giving up when we were scorned by the laughter of fools. At the end of the day, Jesus has succeeded where we failed. And his success is our salvation. At the end of the day, we glory in his cross. Even as we seek to pursue him, we glory in his cross. He is our light and he is our salvation. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Let's follow him, enduring the shame, and realize that there is a crown that awaits us.